just reading a book again. Because I haven't read and writing very much recently. But also, I couldn't find anything. Rummaging around my own stuff, I couldn't find any much useful book. I picked up Contemporary Irish Poetry, edited by Muldoon. It's about 30 years old. It created a fair amount of unhappiness about it when it first appeared. And it has been reprinted 20 years later, it was reprinted. And I thought, well, where am I going to find something? I've been rereading bits of biography of Kavanagh, big, big name in my younger days, but I couldn't find a suitable Kavanagh poem that seemed to be suitable. So one of the least unsuitable poems is by Tom Colin, whom some of us used to see on the television years ago, and I think was well known, very well known, and sometimes annoyed people enormously. Inishkeel Parish Church, standing at the gate before the service started in their Sunday suits, the Barretts talked together, smiling shyly at the visitors who packed the church in summer. A passing congregation, who mostly knew each other, were somehow fashionable, their sons at prep school, their daughters boarding. Inside it was neat and tight as a boat, stone flags and whitewashed walls, a little brass. Old Mrs. Pluitt played the organ, and Mr. Orwell read the lessons in an accent as sharp as salt. Oh, absent, my son. An hour is too long. There are too many people, too many heads and eyes and thoughts that clutter. Only one moment counted with the lessons. And that was when the pressure just too much. You walked slowly out of that packed church into bright, cold air. Then before the recognitions and the talk, there was an enormous sight of the sea, the silent water beyond society.
Thank you, Charles. And now we have Sue Blue. Oh.
Thanks very much. Kind of almost apologizing for the repeated topic. This one here is a poem that was only finished this year, so it's one of the rare pieces that I've actually written. Place yourselves by the Lee, Carrie Graham Road, kind of in the area where the county hall is. There's a bench there, and the bench has a little. There's many benches there, and they're all dedicated. But this one here has a quote, and it just simply says, as in to the person, I forget the name, and then the rainbow in our clouds. So that's a quote. Commemoration. You died in the year I survived. Who would have thought when they placed the bench here by the river for you in your name, that one day I would sit here with my brain injured and recovered, after knowing the grinding upwards and forwards, the hardship of baby steps, and after receiving the blessings of understanding, empathy, embrace, making headway. Now here by the Lee, contemplating you, the rainbow in our clouds, the silver light, the beauty in it all, wondering what you died of, and the blessings you left behind, like this bench here that I'm sitting on because I survived that year. And I take a deep breath.
Thank you, Sue. Keep breathing. Next we'll have Jackie Shortland, please.
Thanks. This is also about the Lee. lots of people know that there are plans to improve the Lea, to try and make it safer, stop the flooding and that. And there's a lot of plans that were just made without really looking at the damage they're going to do. So that's all in the process, and it's all in the politics at the moment. But here we go, a poem after the Cork anthem. We are the banks of the Lea. Lay off with your plans to improve us. We are the banks of the green leafy shade. Lay off with your concrete and glaze. Why would you want to dig us out? Why screen us off from our wildness? Our earth and our moss and wildflowers have embraced the limestone walls and embodied them over the years. But these new plans will be the ruination of us. We are the banks of the green leafy shade. Lay off with your concrete and glaze. For pity's sake, before you do this, take a walk for yourselves up to the shaky bridge and listen for 2 seconds. Wild birds will echo centuries of playground voices, and the barraca and buttera bands and the bells of St. Finbar's and Shandon will all sound out our anthem. Where we sported and played, 'neath the green leafy shade, by the banks of my own lovely Lea. And suspended over the water, let yourself hear the wrought iron bridge resounding in solidarity with us. Fair dues to it. Now listen deeper for a faint murmuring. That'll be us groaning eternally after you smother us in your concrete. We are the banks of the Lea. Lay off with your plans to improve us. We are the banks of the green leafy shade. Lay off with your concrete and glaze.
Lovely, lovely. Thank you, yeah. And now we'll have Hayley Hughes.
Hello. I've been drafting this poem over and over, and I think it's just about ready. Like a cake. It's called The Morning. Still, she wants to touch his knee, cradle his head on the round of her shoulder. That's her boy. She can't leave him on a hill of red clay and wilted daisies. In her mind's eye, he sits, head bowed over a dog-eared novel. Sometimes his hands cup an open flame to light a cigarette against a rude breeze. They always waft up, those good spirits, into the bare light bulb. Always inside her, the purr of a guitar, poems scratched in notebooks, his calligraphic slant of ink.
I thought you ready, so something always comes up through the night, I always start waiting in spite of myself. And by the way, this lovely lad comes up to me in the moonlight in the country, and he has had many conversations with me over the years, but not sure they aren't verbal. And I watch him grow, and he's a gorgeous little lad. So I won't say his name, but this is for him, and it's the voice coming to me. So, child of the universe, I see you there. You see much more than all of us who sense what's there. Now you've grown into a man, you're lost in there. 'Cause you just want to cuddle daddy and play with his hair. But I'd play for you if you dance for me. And I'll brush your curls if you sing to me. My gamma boy, you stay free. So barefoot in the damp meadow, He revels in the dew. He sips the drops from the sorrel leaves. And he tastes the clover honey and picks the feverfew. His arms looped out. He's a gamma, he's a theta. He radiates in the sun. Sometimes he runs to me, phosphorescent in the pale moon. Yellow gelée, glowing night. In the drizzle, he soaks it in. Drinks it in thirstily through his cool skin. And he says, "Hello, Margaret." And he shakes my hands and he says, "Will you play your otter harp for me?" And from within my old metal clunky box, I play and I watch him spin. And I watch the freedom of his eyes. I wish I could feel such wonder. And each blade of grass, each little microscopic detail, this is his toy. The universe at Gordon o'clock. He is the closest to the serene, with his gamma and his theta arms, the silhouette of pi. He has his own alpha and omega. He senses so much more than you or I. So it's my child of the universe.
James Harrington.
Thanks, Rosie. A long time ago, I was discussing poetry with Lee McGovern and said I was inclined to write in rhyming verses, and that's not necessarily a bad thing if that's your choice, stick with it. And I did. So this is one that came from a well-known title phenomenon called the 1/12th rule. It's called Time and Tide. In 6 hours 20, all has changed, the coastlines altered, rearranged, the distance covered every hour appears to change by lunar power. This covert style is just so cool. Our seas obey the 1/12th rule. The fall and rise are ebb and flow, proceed alike both quick and slow. The first hour passed a tidal turn. It flows 1/12th, we've come to learn. Along its way, direction one, sea urchins sigh in unison. The second hour, this rate will double, sea urchins play where castles wobble. The third hour then is 3 times 1st, a fourth one gives the same quick burst. Then 5 as 2 and 6 as 1, high time to turn its journey done. Resluicing shores from poles to tropics, with springs and neaps, bi-monthly topics. Perhaps some rhyme may swell our depth of knowledge so we're safely kept. Harmonic charts and daily tables, didactic clearly, they're not fables. Some local knowledge may deliver solutions to that briny river. With deep fin keel or boardless cat, you need to know just what you're at. At mid-tide ebb, survey or draft, yes, even on a shallow raft, or else you wait and sigh where nature's left you high and dry. Thank you.
Thank you, Seamus. There is a lot of debate about whether you can rhyme or not in modern poetry. And well, go for it if that's what you want to do. Go for it. It's all there out for the taking. Next we'll have Cedric Bicond.
Oh. I'm still looking for a pattern for this one. He was born from a tight nucleon, always orbiting, tied by all forces, strong and weak. His state was unknown all over the place. While they told him potent, he was merely present, somewhere, probable at best. All it took was a bit of excitation, once to cast him away on his own adventure. half his life would be a fate bent by magnetic encounters, leaving him spinning in all directions, until he was wrongly thought bipolar. No one understood how he could head straight regardless of the obstacle at the speed of light. But he had a secret. To stay young, you must move fast and see everyone as relative. However, beware. To survive at the speed of light, don't be too bright. He had traveled far, and by the time he hit the wall, he was thought to have reached his end, scattered in space. But in fact, he was now everywhere, and his legacy still made waves. They should have named him Photo.
Winehouse, actually. There you go. It's a story that fits a few people, I'm sure. Can we have Patricia Walsh next? And thanks, Cedric.
This is for all of you who have ever gotten involved with the wrong person. It's all a little head.
Jesus.
Well, that was the year past, present, and future. It was tense knowing what would happen next. Forced to be swallowing constructions on genius. Academic abandonment solving a crisis. Party disillusionment extending to showtime. Apple plans for divorce, but you call your wife. Why not the poetry reading swing to the rhythm? Madness as the holiness hustle too much to ask. Residual intelligence wastes on some style. Tea-based life forms congregate on a ginge. Truncated lifespan, a lifetime of abuse. Conspiring to laser tattoo our extremities. Safe at last now, being utterly insane. No context for grief, a friend indeed. Terminology fast-worn, criminally pure. Dead your own sword, busy conspiring against the modern world, satanic as it may be. Contributing nothing to the universe at large, or closer to home, lost in the storm. Lacking a disability that sinks itself, sinks the ship. Catching your death, not abusing any life forms, beyond my own, leading to satisfaction. Walking where required, on a borrowed ride. Having come to sense, joking on a common state, blowing hot and cold in an unwanted strategy. Thanks.
Thank you, Tricia. And next can we have Philip Spillane, please.
The Talking Map. Moths mine labyrinths in green garments. A substitute for their personal honeycombs. They recycle the thread and knit them into dull rainbows of lime beige yolk and light emerald. They call this cross-stitch a talking map, which they robe religiously as it's a moving track, one that might hopefully lead them home, up to the sun where all moths come from. Thank you.
Thank you, Philip. And now we'll have Mary O'Connell. Thanks, Rosie. This is called Poetry, Please. If you're feeling lost or lonely, maybe fighting off the blues, someone's thought of a solution. I just heard it on the news. All those self-help books you've paid for, or else borrowed on the sly, are considered less than useless by some academic guy. Maureen Gaffney's Book of Wisdom has been flying off the shelves, as so many wish to flourish and express their inner selves. But the latest innovation that some scientists revealed is that poetry has powers that were hitherto concealed. A recipe to raise the mood, a challenge for the mind, would be reading or reciting poems, the best that you can find.
Mixing sonnets, haiku, ballads. All you need is half a cup. Leave them browning in the oven. When they're done, just take them up. When you focus your attention to unravel cryptic lines, it triggers countless neurons that fire off at different times. Sample Eliot or Heaney, Ezra Pound or Sylvia Plath. The effect becomes electric and your brain gets charged by that. Become flooded with endorphins as you dawdling hopes revive. Reading poetry is the answer. Makes it worthwhile staying alive.
Thank you, Mary, though I think you're preaching to the converted. No harm. We like reinforcement, it's good. Niall Hearn is next, please.
This is called Repeats and Spirals. I'd love a reset button for this brain that I mistrain. It floats somewhere in between my skull when feeling good counts up words to null. I only see my point as null. Cause when my brain doesn't act like a divine filter and I'm just a sitter, I'm on the lines and I'm wasting times and it's more like a drain and I feel a little insane. Forgetting it's just the waxing and the wane. You see, I'd love to wrap it in wool and wear for all to see, to just be or painting on a canvas for your ease of access. If this is a play within a play, can I say what I can't say? I'd love to cut myself open for my true, true words and thoughts to just spill from red rushing to still. Instead, I just slow hurry to a sudden worry that anyone would even get me. I may be sick, you see, and sick as city, and all I can be, I'm no longer blind, but still I don't see. The thoughts are faded, and dreams are faded. And in life's pool, I sought love in the white dove, but when push came to shove, I didn't jump in. I just waited. And as I say this, I rip a happy hook through my tongue and let the blues blood flood as a sweat should to form a conscious sea of me. I then cast my words offline with my reel of doubt. Now I'm the bait, and I'm the sea. I'm probably the fish, and so it must be. I'm bait, I'm tired, I'm me. And I'm feeling like a no one. So I constantly dream up the next runaway and evade the next to one. A heavy heart moves my tongue, and I introduce my tongue as I count the years that go by. I still haven't said that goodbye. I'm a rerun. I'm the setting and rising sun, repeats and spirals, love self and be tidal. Stir myself up to myself, I do deserve, but I act more like a preserve. A hand goes for me, but just swerve. Put on the top shelf of self, it's where I linger. Forgotten about and filled with doubt that I'm a sinner. You know you must invite your friends to dinner and know that you can add a flavour. And a good time with you is something to truly savour. See, maybe I'm just too tied up with love and not labour. I bet me I am and I couldn't lose the wager. You see, there's fixed odds for any downtrodden sods, and man, I should run to stay fitter. But I just stay at home, I'm the sitter. I have a lazy approach. I wouldn't ash all the way to roach, but now finally, here's my tip to me. Enjoy every tip in the lover's cup and just be.
All right.
Thank you. I think we all can relate to that one. Next we'll have Stanley Knott, please.
Thanks, Rosie. I think this is a short poem. George Murphy might disagree. I don't know if anybody has liked it. Three or four people came up and said this is a short one, and then Jerry Murphy came up and ranted the whole album because they weren't short ones apparently. That's not his definition, but this is a short one for me. And your face, so faint, falling and fading into fog and fauna that finally swallows you, leaving me empty and seeking solace in sad songs we listened to when our love was dressed in youthful energy that coursed through our slim frames and second-hand clothes. Back then there was no fog, only clear blue skies that kissed our skin and summer fauna with unconditional love as it has eternally. Back then your face was never faint, it was, like your heartbeat, always vibrant and passionate. Back then, there was no distance between us. Back then, we were never strangers.
Thanks, Stan. And I'm not in the habit of being able to quote other poets, but I can quote one of Jerry Murphy's short poems, just to give you an idea of what Jerry Murphy's short poems are. The title is longer than the poem.
Yes.
The Anxiety of Influence. Yeats, you cunt. Genius, no, but yeah, it's two. Yeah. Yeah. Yeats,
sorry,
you cunt, three words.
Say it again, please.
The title is The Anxiety of Influence. The poem is Yeats, you cunt.
Jerry Murphy.
What about Oedipus in Harlem?
Oedipus in Harlem. Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's
better. Yo motherfucker. So yeah. He takes short and he like.
So is that a short poem?
That's
three words.
Yeah.
Three words.
Right.
You should have liked a short poem.
So Dan's nearly last on the open mic, but then Kieran McCartan walked in the door, strutting his stuff. So get up here now and finish it off.
Got a cup full of coffee and a pocket full of change. Static on the radio, too far out of range. The wise and the weary have been looking at us strange. And our fresh-faced companion needs someone else to blame. Put a match to the newspaper, come rolling on the street. Come dancing in these pools of blood, stop dying on your feet. Scribe announcements on the banner, slap the faces that you meet. Tell them today is forward and yesterday was retreat. I was just acting like I was acting. I really was sincere. Been dancing with me, baby, let's get on out of here. Soft shoes shuffle on my spirit, 4-4 fling on my fear. Calling screams for falling dreams, sunrise is near. Hearts of heads of floating feather light, and hearts weigh a ton. Each leaf falls in gentle sway, bravo winks the sun. Can you hear that ticking bomb? See that smoking gun? Let your tears shine like crystal. It's a beautiful day to be young. Bohemia's burning banner is a youth smiling in rage. The swan song has been sung. The free birds are in their cage. The free spirit of the young is laughed at by age. The pageant has begun. Masked players take the stage. How not to be labeled with a scientist's sticker? Or tarred with a critic's pen when they come calling with their questions of who, why, what, and when. Dodge carpe diem, now is now and then is then. The old man coughs and splutters and the blank face is mine, amen. See a flicker in the streetlight, come dance in the setting sun. Come rolling on the street, blow the smoke from your gun. Where do you think you're going? The end's only just begun. Let your tears shine like crystal. It's a beautiful night to be young.
Thank you, Kieran. I want to be young again.
I'm always younger than somebody else, so that's not so bad. That pretty much took us to the end of the night. And I did try and write the 5-word challenge.
Come on.
I usually don't take part when I MC in the 5-word challenge. I always thought, yeah, you know, why would you? But it's become a tradition now. All the other MCs are doing it. So I felt under pressure. So, just to remind you of the words, they were Finnish, spider, Honda, reminiscent, and oxygen. And I mixed up my lines at the end, so I might not get it right. Anyway, spider couldn't sit still. Got its first bike age 12, a Honda 50. Dad was reminiscent about that sort of thing, and Dad was like oxygen to spider. He found it hard to breathe when he left. Drove out each and every day for weeks, months. Eventually forgot what he was looking for, miles in different directions. Got a bigger bike every other year. Never did reach the finish line. Always just a breath away. Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, the thing about doing the MC is you get the whole night to work on it. So yeah, crafty, my crafty. So thank you everybody for taking part, and especially to Iggy McGovern, what a wonderful reading.